Welcome to the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. Welcome to this week's episode of the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. Hey, thanks so much for listening and spending a little piece of your day with us as we continue talking about the things that make up your everyday. If we haven't met yet, my name is Jacob. And if we haven't met because this is something someone has shared with you, then I want you to give a big old high five to the person who shared this with you, or if you found this just through searching, thanks for joining us no matter what. I get to talk to you weekly about the habits, the lessons that I've learned, and other great topics that hopefully will make you better as a result. Now, I apologize for this week's episode being a day late. It was a really big task narrowing down this week's content and going over the research and making sure that I had everything in here that I wanted to say. I really didn't want to rush such a big conversation. After all, it was Mark Twain that once said, "I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead." On the flip side of that, kind of the inverse, what Mark was saying here was that he wanted it takes time to write something in a short, clear, and concise manner. So I wanted to take that little bit of extra effort to make sure that we were hitting this topic that we'll get to in a moment pretty right smack dab in the face, if you will. Now, we are a few weeks into a fun discussion on our goals and actually meeting them. And just like we did last week, we're continuing to turn our attention towards how we can improve the everyday actions that help us meet those goals and become the people that we want to become. As we know, the truth is we don't become who we want to be by making one big giant step or change. We become who we are with hundreds of small, almost undetectable movements that add up to the changes we experience. So today we're zooming in specifically on how to eliminate the bad habits that we have in the most effective way. If you're enjoying this habits discussion just as much as I am, because I'm really, really loving it, that's the reason why we're continuing it, then I would encourage you to do some further research and reading for yourself. I personally can only talk so much about our habits and routines on this platform, which ultimately means that I end up missing quite a bit on the subject. I would totally recommend, as I've mentioned in weeks past, that you read The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, Atomic Habits by James Clear, and throwing a new one in there, Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Groeschel. If you like listening to podcasts, Craig Groeschel has a great leadership podcast, aptly named the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast, where he's been doing a similar habit tracing series with a few different leadership-oriented emphases. Also, additionally, Craig Groeschel is the senior pastor of Life Church, the organization that created the YouVersion Bible app. There's a really great Bible reading plan if you are a person of faith who wants to have better habits. There's a great reading plan in there called Habits that I would encourage you to check out as well. All of these resources are linked in the show notes, so go ahead and check them out. Now, speaking of habits and leadership, if you lead a team, work on a team, or have problems that come up in your everyday life, so really this is every single one of you, then you need my latest book titled Work the Problem. This book will help you develop a habit of better problem solving and empowerment that will elevate your world and make it easier to deal with the obstacles you face. The heart of this book is all about cultivating a healthy habit and routine that allows you to handle conflict efficiently while still taking care of the people around you. And I firmly believe that it will change your world if you try it out. I don't say that just because I'm the person that wrote this book, even though I do think highly of it. I've been there. I've lived this process out, and I've seen it transform the way that I've solved problems, taken care of my team, the people that I led, and how it really improved the next steps and the future. You can pick up a copy using the link in the show notes. So, without further ado, let's look at how we can break bad habits, that is. Think about the things that your mind defaults to when you're in a tough moment. Maybe after you've had a rough day at work, all you're craving is a night to yourself where you drink a few beers and maybe order a pizza to take your mind off of the day. Maybe you've had a fight with your spouse and you just need to blow off some steam by taking a short drive. Maybe you've checked your cash flow plan for the month and you realize that you're gonna come up short. So you grab that box of cookies on the pantry shelf to comfort your stress. Now, think about the things that your mind defaults to when you're in a good moment. Maybe after a rewarding day at work. Maybe where your leader acknowledged your efforts in front of your team. You want to celebrate by drinking a few beers and ordering a pizza. Or maybe you and your wife are contemplating a big life decision that will end up giving a great outcome and get you closer to where you want to be. So you want to take a drive to clear your thoughts and make sure you're not acting impulsively. Maybe you've stuck to a healthy regimen of eating clean and working out. So you reward yourself by eating a few cookies from the pantry. Habits and routines in and of themselves are neutral features of our lives. It's the circumstances that lead to them, the cues and the cravings that bend them to either positive or negative responses and ultimately differing rewards. The examples I mentioned all contain the same response, but all include different cues, cravings, and rewards. The context in which we experience cues that trigger habits, they are the things that determine whether they become bad or good ones. It's your environment that really matters, the world around you, not the actual actions that occur. Most voices in the habit conversation will focus on how to build good habits before talking about breaking bad ones or even discuss them in the same breath. But I want to do something a little different. Our focus for the next two episodes will be similar to building a new house or even renovating one. We want to strip down to the bones by looking at how to break the bad, get rid of the bad things that exist, the things that we don't want there, then rebuild using the good. So, bad habits. What really constitutes a bad habit? The easiest way to describe it is a triggered action that takes you one step away from where you want to be in life. These steps, as mentioned earlier, are all relative to how we experience the world around us. How you respond to stress, for example, will either ingrain a pattern of healthy ways to handle it that enable you to grow, or ingrain a pattern of unhealthy coping that stunts your growth. The first set of examples paired with their responses are the perfect instances of such backtracking. And as I'm sure you've experienced, these negative reactions, they're incredibly easy to apply and repeat. It's easy to eat your feelings, ignore conflict resolution, and avoid the problem that you're facing. It's quite literally the path of least resistance, which our minds are hardwired to find. Another example of this, think about water. Water, while it might be a simple function, and also in some points a vital function, it does not like to encounter obstacles. You put a boulder, some sort of rock in the middle of a stream bed, and you can create two different streams because the water literally does not want to try to go through the obstacle. It just will avoid it. That's what happens in our minds when it comes to our reactions and habits. Our bad habits often compound and catalyzed into stagnancy at best, or self-destruction at worst. When you string together a few bad days at work, you can easily fall into unhealthy eating patterns and actually avoid processing your interactions with the tough things. You then are susceptible to developing unhealthy and at some points unholy addictions to food and substances, as well as aversions to difficulty and challenges. So how do we break the habits that take us one step away from where we want to end up? James Clear outlines the four laws to behavior change in his book, Atomic Habits, and they're incredibly helpful. Just as helpful is the way that he outlines the inversions to those four laws to behavior change. So as we've said multiple times in our culture, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. I don't want to reinvent the wheel on this subject. Thanks to James Clear for really, no pun intended, clearly developing these concepts. So these are specifically are the inversions to those four laws of behavior change that will help us break bad habits. Number one, make them invisible. If you want to stop practicing a bad habit that takes you one step away from where you want to be in life, you have to do whatever you can to make it inaccessible to you at any given moment. This may mean simply switching up where or when you do certain activities that could cue the bad habit, or changing up your actual environment through rearranging your space, or maybe finding a new space, not necessarily going and moving to a new apartment or house, but maybe changing rooms. Number two, make them unappealing. As you identify the bad habits in which you find yourself engaging, reframe how you see them. We know that these habits meet a felt need, but instead of looking at the good things that occur when engaging in them, look at what you could gain by not engaging in them. One great example and exercise to practice comes from the concept of the opportunity cost. What you say yes to means that you say no to another thing. First, look at what you would say no to in order to engage in the bad habit. This is really great when it comes to your finances. When you say, yes, I'm going to buy something, you're saying no to letting your money sit in savings and gain interest. That's a single example. Think about what you would be missing if you said yes to engaging in the bad habit. Then look at what you could say yes to if you said no to the bad habit. Think about what you could do instead of following the negative action. Number three, make them difficult. If our minds follow the path of least resistance to get to a desired end, then examine what steps you could add into the equation so that if you're triggered to engage in a bad habit, it would be more difficult to do so than if you chose the thing that put you one step closer to where you want to be. Keep the phone out of the bedroom, the computer out of the living room, the cookies on the top shelf, the liquor in the back of a cabinet, etc. List goes on and on. And make it as hard as possible for your mind to go on autopilot. Moving your bad habit physically or metaphorically out of reach will then cause your non-conscious mind to engage the conscious mind, to turn on, essentially, and wake you up to what you're doing so you can say no. While this applies more to the quote-unquote wartime situation when you're in the middle of engaging in the habit, in what we would call peace times, where you're not experiencing temptation or triggering situations. When you're not tempted to engage in a bad habit, make a choice to do something in the present that controls your actions in the future. This simply could be setting automations on your devices, like app time limits on your social media apps or content restrictions, and having someone you trust set a passcode for the controls that you don't know, so you can't go around them. And then number four, make them unsatisfying. When our habits don't produce the reward that gives us some sort of enjoyment, then we become less likely to engage in them or practice them. And typically the time or times when we most engage in bad habits are when we're alone or in some type of isolation. Sometimes with isolating ourselves even being the bad habit potentially. One of the easiest ways to make bad habits unsatisfying is by removing the mystery and simply telling someone that you trust about these tendencies or actions. Seriously, just like I mentioned a few moments ago when we were talking about making them difficult, finding someone in your life who we would call an accountability partner, someone who you can have honest conversations about your triggers and who can remind you of the consequences or even create consequences for you. Let's even take it a step further. Write out what James Clear calls a habit contract that outlines your commitment to a particular good habit, which allows you to avoid a bad habit, and whatever punishment you would incur, should you violate the contract, you have to pay up or do or whatever. I once heard a story of a well-known pastor who struggled in his teenage years with what he watched and consumed online, who had a similar agreement with another pastor in his area. If he engaged in watching inappropriate content, he would immediately write a check for $250 to the pastor keeping him accountable. Find someone in your life who you can do this with and make that habit unsatisfying. Another way to make a habit unsatisfying is what I would call a cost card. Very similar to the opportunity cost that we mentioned earlier. All the cost card is a 3x5 note card where on one side it says, if I stop, and on the other side it says, if I continue. On the stop side, you list out all the things that you could do, the desired future that you could experience if you stop the bad habit. On the if I continue side, you list out all the things that if you trace that habit and making that habit more ingrained in your brain throughout the years, what you could lose by continuing to do it. So let me recap. Make them invisible. Make them unappealing. Make them difficult. And make them unsatisfying. Those are the inversions of the four laws of behavior change and how we break bad habits. So, where does this leave you? Can you think of one or maybe two bad habits to which you can apply these inverted laws of behavior change? I know that I can. I can look at my phone less, eat less sweets, snacks, junk food, and stop finding things to always keep me busy. So I invite you to try these actions with me. This week, we looked at the inverted laws, the opposite of how to make good habits. But next week, we dive into the actual laws of behavior change. This one is going to be fun. Super excited about that because these are really cool things to talk about. Make sure that you're subscribing to the channel, getting notifications when each new episode drops, and sharing this with your friends. Sharing is caring, after all. I know it's cheesy. Sorry. If you're really enjoying your time with me, leave a 5-star review and talk about it on your social media platforms. Make sure you tag the podcast, Instagram, @every_day_podcast. Yeah, there are a lot of everyday podcasts out there. I know, unoriginal. And even my personal account, @JacobRRay. Well, we'll see you next week. Remember, your every day matters. Thanks for listening to the Everyday Podcast. Don't miss out on new episodes dropping every Monday. Hit the follow or subscribe button in your preferred podcast player to keep up to date. For resources and additional info mentioned in this episode, head to the show notes to learn more. While you're there, you'll find links to our social media outlets you can follow to stay connected between episodes. Remember, your every day matters.